The following is a home program on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 7, text number 13, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 26, 2012, in Montagne Lounge, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tribhir Gunamaya Bhavair. Ebi Sarvam Midam Jagat. Mohitam Nabijanati. Mamebhya paramavyayam Tribhir gunamayair bhavair Ebi sarvam idam jagat Mohitam nabijanati Mamebhya paramavyayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Purport. The whole world is enchanted by the three modes of material nature. Those who are bewildered by these three modes cannot understand that transcendental to this material nature is the Supreme Lord Krishna. Every living entity under the influence of material nature has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. There are four classes of men functioning in the three material modes of nature. Those who are purely in the mode of goodness are called brahmanas. Those who are purely in the mode of passion are called kshatriyas. Those who are in the modes of both passion and ignorance are called vaishyas. And those who are completely in ignorance are called shudras. And those who are less than that are animals or animal life. However, these designations are not permanent. I may be a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or whatever. In any case, this life is temporary. But although life is temporary, and we do not know what we are going to be in the next life, by the spell of this illusory energy, we consider ourselves in terms of this bodily conception of life, and thus we think we're American, Indian, Russian, or Brahmana, Hindu, Muslim, etc. And if we become entangled with the modes of material nature, then we forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is behind all these modes. So, Lord Krishna says that living entities deluded by these three modes of nature do not understand that behind the material background is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many different types of living entities: human beings, demigods, animals, etc. And each and every one of them is under the influence of material nature. And all of them have forgotten the transcendent personality of Godhead. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance, and even those who are in the mode of goodness, cannot go beyond the impersonal Brahman conception of the Absolute Truth. They are bewildered before the Supreme Lord and His personal feature, which possesses all beauty, opulence, knowledge, strength, fame, and renunciation. When even those who are in goodness cannot understand, What hope is there for those who are in passion and ignorance? Krishna consciousness is transcendental to all these three modes of material nature. And those who are truly established in Krishna consciousness are actually liberated. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem here. And that problem is we are under the influence of the modes of nature. We are captivated by the influence of these three modes of material nature. The Sanskrit word for modes is guna. Guna has a double meaning. It also means rope. So we are roped by these three modes of material nature: passion, goodness, and ignorance. Because of this, we do not realize that person who is beyond these modes of nature. That person is Krishna, Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you find yourself in prison, bound tightly by ropes, what do? You have to find out, well, how can I be released from this prison? That's the intelligent thing to do. You see, if the prisoner can rectify himself of his criminal mentality, you understand? If he can rectify himself of his criminal mentality, then by the authority of the proprietor of the prison, he can be released. The prisoners may try to escape on their own, by their own power, but they will be captured and given a lengthier sentence. For those prisoners who find out how to please the government authorities, they qualify to be released from the prison. You see? So how do you find out? What is required to be released from the prison? Do you guess? No, you have to find out from the Supreme Authority. Krishna is the Supreme Authority and he's explaining exactly what you need to do, what I need to do to get released from this prison. So it's not difficult. Krishna has so kindly appeared 5,000 years ago. He's come to this prison in this material world. He has a world which is much better than this place. He lives in Goloka Vrindavan. It's a wonderful place where all the speech is sung, all the walking is dancing. There's no demons there. It's a beautiful, wonderful abode. It's called the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. That's his home, you see. But he comes here to this place full of demons, full of all kinds of problems and difficulties, simply out of his kindness upon us to deliver us from our condition in this suffering material existence. So we have to hear what Krishna has to say, you see. If we don't agree to hear what Krishna has to say, we are doomed. We will eternally remain bound up tightly in karma chakra, the cycle of birth and death. We'll never get out. Some people say, well, you know, when it's my karma to become Krishna conscious, then I will become Krishna conscious. But I have news for you, if that's your philosophy. It will never become your karma to become Krishna conscious. Krishna consciousness means when you want to say, now I want to get out of karma chakra. Karma chakra's duty is to keep you totally, eternally bound up in karma chakra. You commit one sinful activity, you're punished. You commit a pious activity, you're rewarded. That's all within karma chakra. It keeps you eternally bound up, birth after birth after birth. Millions, trillions, quadrillions, quintillions, sectillions, octillions, unlimited zillions of lifetimes, karma chakra will keep you spinning around and around and around and around and around and around in the circle game of birth, death, old age, and disease. If you want to wait until it's your karma to surrender to God, you will never be. You will always remain a prisoner of this material existence. You will never get out. Not in all of eternity will you be released from this prison. But if you will make the conscious choice, I'm tired of suffering here. I don't want to get old. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to die. I want to be always blissful, free of all anxieties. If you will make that determination, you see, then Krishna, who is seated within your heart as Chaitya Guru, the spiritual master in your heart, he will appear externally before you in the form of the spiritual master and in the form of the Bhagavad Gita to tell you exactly what you need to do, how you can be released from karma chakra in this very lifetime. So then it's up to you whether you follow it or not. You see? Do you want to serve your material senses? Or do you want to serve Krishna? That's your choice. We have been serving our senses for millions of births. Our desires of the senses. And where has it gotten us? Another damn rotting material body. That's where it's gotten us. So if you want to get out of karma chakra, you want to get out of all suffering conditions, you cannot continue to do what you've always been doing. If you continue to do what you've always done, you will continue to get what you've always gotten, which is another material body. If you want release from the cycle of birth and death, you have to do something different in this lifetime than what you've done in all your millions and billions of lifetimes before this. You have to do something different. Instead of serving your senses, Vishik in Sanskrit, you have to serve Vishikesha, the master of the senses. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada advises Sarvapadivanirmuktam Tatparadvena Nirmulam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Throw off all these designations born of the three modes of material nature. Throw them off. I am male, I am female, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Mauritian, I am South African, I am American. Throw off all these designations born of contact with the three modes of material nature. You see, now we are malam, we are full of dirt. You see, we must become nirmal, free of the dirt. Therefore, one has to give up sinful activities like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because these activities make the heart very, very, very dirty. They keep you addicted to material sense gratification. If you want to actually become liberated, you must give up false designations and give up sinful activities. But what do I do then? That's my entertainment. They may ask. There was a nice song by poet Govindadas. And in this bhajan, Govindadas is advising his mind and his senses to give up your entanglement in this material nature, in karma chakra. So the senses may complain, O Govindadas, you're taking away all my pleasure, my illicit sex, my intoxication, my meat eating, my gambling. You're taking away all my pleasure. What am I going to do now? What will I do? What will be my activities on the weekend when I'm off of work? If I have no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, how will I be? What will be my entertainment? How will I be happy? So Govindadas has written very nicely in his song, Shravana Kirtana Smarana Vandana Pada Sevana Dashade Pujana Saki Jana Admani Vedana Govinda Dasa Bilasare. So Govindadas is advising very nicely. You don't worry. I'm taking away your illicit sex, your meat eating, your intoxication, no gambling, but no problem. I'm giving you a very nice entertainment. You can enjoy 24 hours a day. You hear about Krishna, Shravana. You chant the glories of Krishna, Kirtana, Shravana, Kirtana. You remember Krishna, the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, the amazing qualities of Krishna, the beautiful form of Krishna. You see, Shravana, Kirtana, Smarana, Vandana. You pray to Krishna, you worship Krishna, you serve Krishna, you make friends with Krishna, you surrender everything to Krishna. You pray to Krishna, and this way become completely, completely blissful in a festival, a non-stop festival of spiritual bliss, you see. Actually, it's a natural tendency, you see. We all want to worship some hero, you see. It's like in the material world, we see the people, they like to worship the movie stars or the athletes, the cricket stars, you see. Or the movie stars, you see, the Bollywood stars, or the Hollywood stars, you see. People like to worship some big, make a somebody into a superstar and worship that person. It is a natural tendency, you see. So why worship some ordinary person of this world who's covered by the illusory energy? That doesn't make sense. Whoever you worship, that's what you become like. You worship a materialist, you become materialist. You worship a movie star, you become sinful like a movie star. You worship a politician, you become sinful like a politician. So why not take this tendency to worship and glorify someone and apply it to the supreme perfect all personality, the supreme all perfect personality of Godhead, Krishna, the source of everything. I mean, this is just intelligence. I mean, who can give you what Krishna can give you? Can any politician provide your air to breathe? Does your prime minister give you the air that you breathe here in Mauritius? Or does God give you them? Is it? Who gives all the papayas? Is that from the agricultural department provide your papayas? What about Mauritian television? Do they provide the water? No. Everything that you depend upon is coming from Krishna Arjuna. You see. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahunam yovadati kaman. That one supreme eternal amongst the plural eternals, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko, that one bahunam, the many. Eko bahanam yovadati kaman, that one is supplying everything for the many. So who's supplying you? Don't you think you owe him some gratitude? I see that you're all breathing right now. I'm breathing also. That is God's gift. He just gave us the air to breathe. You see, he gave us the lungs with which to breathe. How much are we showing our gratitude every day to God, you see? Or is it some once a year on Janmashtami? You see? How much we should be grateful to God? At every minute we should be grateful. He's keeping us alive at every single minute. How much are we showing our gratitude? Now they say there is no God. What kind of gratitude is that? If someone says, who are the parents that nurtured you and raised you as a kid and supplied all your needs? Oh, I don't have any parents. That was just a figment of the imagination. I never had any parents. What kind of gratitude would that be if you say, my parents are just a myth? They don't really exist. This is something of some fairy tale that made up that I had some parents. I mean, how offensive that would be. Your parents raised you. They took such hard care of you from the diaper stage all the way up to college. They took care of you day by day, working so hard to take care of you. And now you say they don't even exist? What sort of attitude would that be for a child, you see? So how we can say God does not exist? Or some philosophers say, oh, but he's the impersonal Brahman. He has no form. He has no name. He's just the oneness. You see? This is so offensive. There's a saying in English, do not bite the hand that feeds you. So how we can deny God, you see? Is that a very good thing? You deny God's existence? That person is providing everything for you, you deny his existence? What sort of attitude is that, you see? Do you think you can be happy when you do not have a gratuitous attitude? When you are not thankful to that person who's giving you everything, do you think you can be happy? Do you think an ungrateful person can feel happiness within his heart? Someone who does not reciprocate the love that he is receiving, do you think he can ever be happy? It is not possible. Happiness is based on love. The more you can love, and I'm not talking about lust, where you take things for your senses. I'm talking about giving, selfless giving. That is love. That is real love. The more you can reciprocate love, selflessly reciprocate the love that others are giving to you, the more you become happy. That's the thing. So why do we leave God out of the equation? Who provided all the food that your parents gave you to eat? God gave you the food. So your parents delivered it, but God provided the food. Krishna, our God, has provided us everything at every moment of our millions and millions of lifetimes in this world. Therefore, we owe him something. Do you understand? We owe him something. We owe him our devotion. We owe him our love. The only way we can be happy is to reciprocate that love of the Supreme. Otherwise, I don't care how much material success you may have in life, how much money, how much power, how much prestige, how good looking you might be. I don't care what you have, how good you can sing or play the guitar, whatever you may be able to do in this world. You will never be happy unless you can reciprocate the love that's coming from that Supreme Person. That's a fact. You'll never be happy. Not possible. So what should I do then? Well, you have to surrender. Krishna wants you to surrender to him. Sarvadharman putit jaja mame kangshadanang raja ahang tvang sarvapapebhyo mokshishami ma shuchaha. But how can I surrender? I have a wife, I have kids, I have a job, I have a business. How can I surrender to Krishna? Oh, wait a minute. Who is the first person who surrenders to Krishna? Arjuna. He had many wives. He had a job. He had so many material arrangements that he was absorbed in as a married man, as a professional warrior, a member of the royal family, you see. He had so many duties to perform in that position. Krishna didn't tell him to give up his duty as a kshatriya. He said, use your duty for me. So don't give up your wife, don't give up your husband, don't give up your children, don't give up your duties. But do them all, yat karoshi yadasnasi yajdahoti dadasi yad. Do them all for Krishna. My dear Lord, everything I have, every talent I have, every Every opulence I possess, whatever I have, it is yours, and now I engage it in your service. Instead of saying, this is my house, and this is Krishna's house. And now I am the caretaker of this house. I am the caretaker of this family, these wife, these kids, this husband, these parents, everything that I have, it is Krishna's gift to me to engage in his service, you see. So you continue to do what you've been doing, but you change your consciousness, that's all. You don't have to become a sannyasi. You simply change what you're doing, you see. That's all. All you have to do is change what you're doing. Change the consciousness of what you're doing. Before, I was doing it for myself and for the extensions of myself in the form of wife and children, you see. That was my consciousness before. But now I see it's all for Krishna. So instead of engaging with my family members in material sense gratification, now I will engage with my family members in Krishna service, you see. We will go to the temple. We will have an altar in the home. We will offer our food on the altar before eating. We will have the kirtan in the home. We will all bow down every day to the Krishna on our altar in the home. We will go to the temple whenever we have time, you see. We will study the scriptures. We will discuss the scriptures. We will give up sinful activities in the home and train everyone how to follow a pure religious life, you see. This brings great happiness. Does everyone know to write down their questions on a piece of paper? I don't see any papers anywhere. So, there's some questions are already written down? Okay. So anyone who has questions, you can write them down, and I'm going to go ahead and answer those questions. So if there's some already written, I can begin now. Okay, first question. What is the difference between religion and spirituality? In the modern day world, the word religion is becoming a bad word because people are very much put off or disturbed by the fanatical religions of the world, which teach that their path, that, you know, unless you accept Jesus, you're going to hell. Unless you accept Allah, you're going to hell, etc. So people have become turned off of the idea of religion, but they like spirituality is becoming a very popular idea nowadays. Instead of belonging to some institution that tells you how to think, you approach God on your own. So either way, it's not religion in the sense of institutionalized fanaticism or spirituality where you just do your own thing. Both of them are incorrect. The real meaning of religion is to relink with the Supreme Lord. That's the meaning of religion. It doesn't mean a particular religion. Actually, there's no such thing as particular religion. This is a man-made conception. Religion means to relig with the Supreme, to reconnect with the Supreme. That's the meaning of religion. So in the proper sense, true religion is spirituality, and spirituality is true religion. There is no spirituality without religion, nor is there any religion without spirituality. That's in the actual understanding. But nowadays they take it in a different way. They don't understand what spirituality really means. They don't understand what religion really means. But in the real sense, they're the same thing. You can't be religious without being spiritual, nor can you be spiritual without being religious. How does the law of karma work? Please explain to us the process of reincarnation. If you do something good, a reward comes to you in this lifetime. It could come immediately, it could come 5 years from now, 10 years from now, it could be delayed in your next life as well. If you do something bad, the same principle comes. You get a punishment. So for good things, you're punished, immediately or in the near future or in the distant future. For sinful activities, you're punished in the immediate future, immediately, in the near future, or the distant future. So these actions and reactions are keeping us bound up in the cycle of birth and death unlimitedly. Yoga means to yoke. The Sanskrit word yoga is the origin of the English word yoke, which connects the bull or the ox with the plow. So a yoke or yoga is that which links one with the Supreme. That's yoga. There are many yoga systems. There's the Jnana Yoga system, philosophical speculation. There's the Ashtanga system, Ashtanga Yoga system, Hatha Yoga system, Kundalini Yoga system. These systems are very, very slow. They take many lifetimes to perfect. But the Bhakti Yoga system is a very suitable system for this age, because through Bhakti Yoga you can achieve perfection in this one lifetime. In this very one lifetime you can achieve perfection through the Bhakti Yoga system. Mancha, that's that Bhakti Yoga system means Krishna consciousness, devotional service to the Supreme Lord. What does the word mantra mean? Mantra is broken into two syllables. Man means mind and tra means deliver. So a mantra is a transcendental sound vibration that delivers the mind from this material nature. In other words, if you associate with something which is transcendental to this material existence, that association with that transcendental substance transcendentalizes you. Whatever you associate with, that's what you become. So by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, your consciousness is purified. You're uplifted. So a mantra delivers your mind from this material existence. It delivers your mind from its entanglement within the three modes of material nature. Why is the Hare Krishna mantra referred to as the Maha Mantra? The Maha Mantra means the great or the greatest. So why is it called the great, the greatest chant? This is because it is stated in the Kali Santarana Upanishad that of all the mantras in the Vedic literatures, this particular mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the most powerful, effective mantra for delivering one from this material existence. Therefore, on the authority of the Kali Santarana Upanishad, this Hare Krishna mantra is called the Maha Mantra. And the other evidence? God Himself came. Who is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When He personally came, He said, all the names of God are very good, but what name did He chant? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is truly Maha Mantra. Is it? Truly, this is Maha Mantra.
It is the highest yoga.
The highest yoga I described about 3 minutes ago, Bhakti Yoga.
Oh, I'm saying this is the highest yoga, mantra yoga for this age.
Though this, yes, this is the perfection. This is the perfection of yoga practice, to chant the holy names of God, mantra yoga. Kindly, could you make the differentiation between Lord Krishna's expansion and incarnation? These terms, expansion and incarnation, are used in many ways in Prabhupada's books. There are two types of expansions. Some expansions are incarnations and some are not. The integrated expansions of Krishna are incarnations of Krishna, like Balaram, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, etc. Mahavishnu, these are all different incarnations. They are all incarnations of Krishna. The separated expansions, they are called the jivas. That's us. We are not incarnations of Krishna. So the integrated expansions of Krishna, they are incarnations. The separated expansions, the jivas, they are not incarnations of Krishna. What is the difference between being religious and being spiritual? There's actually no difference. It's the same question as religiosity and religion and spirituality. There's no difference. If you're really spiritual, you must be religious, and if you're religious, you must be spiritual. But they take it differently now. The religion is some kind of fanaticism. Okay, more questions? All right. Who is a demigod? Demigods are exalted devotees who are not completely free from material tinges. They are allowed to manage in this material world different things like the wind, the sun, the rain. There are actually millions of demigods, and they rule over different things. It's like when you blink your eyes, you see? I just saw you blink your eyes, and then you blink them again. That's under the control of some demigod. I saw you blink your eyes too, you see. This is under the control of a demigod. I just saw you blink yours too. This is a demigod controlling this. There's the demigod who actually controls the blinking. I didn't blink mine. There's a demigod who controls the blinking. Every single thing, like I see the wind blowing the leaves on the trees, there's a demigod behind that, you see. Every single aspect of this material world is under the control of a demigod. And he functions as a servant of the Supreme Lord Krishna. He's doing it as a service. It's like the Prime Minister has somebody, the Department of Defense, Department of Education. The Prime Minister is the Supreme Ruler, and then he has the subordinate rulers. They report to him. Usually, I think that people reincarnate in future lives. Do people reincarnate in their own past life? We reincarnate in the future. We've also reincarnated in the past. What is that verse? Many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember all of them, but you cannot, O Arjuna. So we've had many, many reincarnations in the past. And if we don't become Krishna conscious, we will have many, many, many reincarnations in the future also. So if you have to decide whether you want to get out of the cycle of birth and death or you want to stay in it. It's your choice. Everybody has a choice. It's not just for the adults, for the little children too. Just like here's a young boy, a bhai. Huh? You have a choice. Do you want to stay in the cycle of birth and death or get out of it? You see, you have a choice. So everyone has that choice. They can stay in the cycle of birth and death, they can get out of it. If you want to get out of it, then you have to surrender to Krishna. Otherwise, you will remain in the cycle of birth and death. Any other questions?
One question.
Okay. All right.
With due respect to your experience and learning, I would like to know from you, why there is an increase of the materialistic in this materialistic world, there is an increase of materials in spite of spiritual, there is a decrease of spiritual.
He says why there is an increase in materialism then yes. In spite of there is so much religions going on.
Because the religious leaders are cheaters. The religious leaders are cheaters.
Yes.
There was one priest, he would be walking, and he would. All the members of the church, they were lined up along the sidewalk, and the priest was coming, and he wanted to give them blessings. So he was smoking a cigarette. So he would take his cigarette ashes and shake them on all the people as blessing. You see, he's engaged in nonsense activities, smoking cigarettes. And he's thinking, now I will bless all of you. Here's my cigarette ashes, you see. So because the religious leaders are becoming nonsense. Just like there was one Indian Swami in Austin, where I have my home base. He had a big mandir there. And he was having the young girls come for darshan, and he, in private he would feel their breasts, you see. Soka, this sannyasi, what is this nonsense? Because the religious leaders, they are themselves nonsense, rascal, materialistic people. Therefore, in spite of so much religion, it's not real religion, that's the point. It's pseudo-religion. That's why this Hare Krishna movement is so important thing. Prabhupada is giving the real pure bhakti. I grew up as a Christian, and every Wednesday night we'd have a potluck dinner at the church. All kinds of meat, nonsense we were eating, you see. Killing the innocent animals. Even though the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, we were eating all of this slaughtered animals at our potluck dinner, you see. So because the religious leaders, they themselves are nonsense. And they're teaching the people to be nonsense. Therefore, in spite of so much religious act, so many religions in the world is becoming more and more materialistic. That's why this Krishna consciousness movement is so important. My life's mission is to get the entire world to accept Prabhupada's teachings as the guiding principle for the human society on all levels: government, education, entertainment, agriculture, military, and every field of activity. Prabhupada's teachings should be the guiding principle. This is how we will solve the problems in the world. You see, they are not, because they are not reading Prabhupada's books. Therefore, they say, in the name of Allah, they will blow up the World Trade Center, you see. They call it religion, devotion to Allah, you see. So, because we need the guidance of the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And that will bring true religion and drive away the materialism. Their religion is spirit, is material life masquerading as religion, actually. It's not real religion. That's the point. It is called Kaitava Dharma. I'm recognizing you. You had your hand up? Okay, just wait. You're next in line. Bhagavatam says, Dharmak Projita Kaitava Padamo Nirmatsaranam Sutam. The second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Completely rejecting Kaitava Dharma, all religion that is materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. So that we need the Bhagavatam in every religious institution, the Christian churches, the Muslim mosques, the Jewish synagogues. Let them remain in their religion, but let them read probably the Bhagavatam and understand, and Bhagavad Gita. Let them all understand what is actual religion, so they can become true Muslims, true Christians, true Hindus, true Jews, true Sikhs, true Jains, true Buddhists, etc., etc., etc. That will solve the problem. Yes?
The thing is that we say that, but when religious leaders give them materialism, people go in a hordes. And when you give the pure knowledge, then hardly anybody can take.
Yes, so for the benefit of our internet audience who may not be able to hear you because you're seated at a distance from the microphone, I repeat what you said. She is saying that the religious leaders, the people themselves flock to these cheaters. And when someone gives the real thing, nobody's interested. That's she's saying. So it's the fault of the followers also. That's her point.
And here also we are giving Krishna consciousness. How many people are ready to take it and preach?
So now she has said, we're now giving Krishna consciousness here. We're offering you pure bhakti. How many are willing right now here today to fully surrender to Krishna? That's the other point. You see? How many are ready to take this process seriously? To chant 16 rounds, follow the four principles, and become initiated by the bona fide spiritual master, you see. That's the real point.
But despite the teaching of the gurus and the swamijis, there is a rapid growth of theft, of miseries, of crimes, of violence, of...
My point is...
...and merrymaking. But we are failing somewhere, Swamiji. What we should do? Always preach from the Bhagavad Gita. People read the Bhagavad Gita, the chapters, and so on.
The problem is,
they do not come to a conclusion.
The problem is they're not reading Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. There's so many swamis and gurus and rishis and yogis, etc., but they are not teaching pure bhakti. That's the problem. They're teaching people, you worship God to get your material desires fulfilled. Just like that song, you know. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see? You see? They are taking religion to fulfill their material desire. Therefore, all the nonsense is going on. They're not the teach. The real thing, the real fault lies in the leaders themselves. They are not teaching pure bhakti. And the people are foolishly going to, they're more interested to go to these bogus leaders, you see. It's like we are preaching, but I see in the world that very few people come to the Hare Krishna movement for spiritual guidance. Very, very, very minuscule number. But to these bogus religions, thousands and millions of people are going. The cheating religion they will take. But the real thing, hardly anyone comes. Just be patient. Just like how many, for the costume jewelry, many people go, but how many people go by to the real diamond, you see? The real thing, the diamond, only a few people go for the diamond. The mass of people go for the cheap costume jewelry. Okay, go ahead.
So my point is that today you have given the pure teachings. Even in this small group, how many are going to take it?
So how many of you are, how many of you,
how many are going to begin chanting?
How many of you want, huh?
How many are going to take up the Japa Mala?
How many are chanting 16 rounds regularly now? Let's see. One? Only a small, only a very small number. They may not know what the requirements are. I don't know. I cannot say. I'm visiting here. I don't know if they even know what the requirements are for pure.
I'm requesting to know.
How many of you would like to surrender to Krishna and get out of the cycle of birth and death? Let's see a show of hands. Only a small number want to get and do it. Okay. So that's why. There's the answer to your question. You all don't want it. You all don't want to pure spiritual life. You're not ready for it yet. You're not ready. You don't want it.
I want it.
Oh, you didn't raise your hand, though. I didn't.
No, but, you know, we should put a ceiling to our desire. This is what people are failing to do. They're not putting a ceiling to the desire. They're wanting to become rich and richer every day.
What's he saying?
Work and work.
He says we are not putting end to the material desire.
A ceiling, please.
Ceiling means the end.
Yeah.
So we are putting a ceiling or end to, we are not trying to put the end to the material desires, but we want more and more richer,
more and become more profit-making basis society we are living in.
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread.
Every people, there is a grace of becoming rich and richer every day. Yes. I'm not challenging you, Swamiji. I'm simply asking a question. Why, despite of all the teachings that we have, we are still failing in our job, in our mission.
They're not, one, the leaders are not preaching the truth, and even if they are, the people are not taking it. That's them. So, you take it. That's the point. If you want to change the situation, you have to begin with your own self, sir. The change you want to see in the world, you have to make it in yourself first. See why they're not doing, why you're not doing, you see. First you change yourself. The change you want to see in the world, you make that change in yourself. And then what does Krishna say? Yad yad acharati shrestha tatta devi taro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanuvartate. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So now, you want to see that change in the world? You make that change in yourself. And that's where it begins. It begins in your own heart. Just like I made that change in my heart, And now I've dedicated my whole life to bringing a spiritual revolution on this planet, you see. So you join me.
Of course.
You join me. Let's work together to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. That's my request.
No, my question was not that I should not follow the teachings of Krishna. No, I am challenging any Swamiji. Simply, I want to know why in this world we are living in, there is so many things going on, irrelevant.
Why are we living in this world?
No, we are living in this world.
In a world which everything is...
It's going upside down. Crime, violence...
You're getting what you wanted. We wanted a world...
Yeah.
Where we can think that we are the Supreme and Krishna gave it to us.
Yeah.
Krishna fulfilled our desire to live in a place where we can think that we are the center. It's simply Krishna is saying, okay, you want to think you're the center? All right, I'll give you a world where you can think you're the center. We got what we want. We got what we asked for. But it was foolish. You see, now we have to give it up and go back to Krishna. Okay, so here's some more questions. Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned as an avatar of Vishnu in the Srimad Bhagavatam? He is indicated in the Bhagavatam. Yes. There's a verse which mentions that incarnation who although he is not does not have the complexion of Krishna, he is always chanting the name of Krishna. He is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Tavsa Krishnam. Sangoparshadaparshadam. You know it better than me. Say it loudly so everyone can hear.
Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sangopangastaparshadam Sankirtani Yagna Prayer Yajantihi.
He used to make it so. Those who have sufficient intelligence in this age, they will worship that incarnation of God who, although not blackish in complexion, he is always chanting the holy name of Krishna. Engaging in Sankirtan Yajna, is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Prabhu, what does Om mean? Om is an impersonal form of addressing the Supreme Lord. I may call out to you by your name. I say, my dear John. I may call out, John, you see? Or I may say, hey, you! You see, what's more attractive? To call somebody personally or impersonally? Hey, you! Or John! What's more attractive to John? If his name is called, you see. So, Om is an impersonal form of addressing the Supreme Lord. Om! That's nice. But if you say Krishna, that's 1,000 times better than Om. Okay, so can we make spiritual progress by chanting Om in the Kali Yuga? A little teeny-weeny bit, but not enough to get liberated. If you chant Krishna, you can get liberated, because it's 1,000 times more powerful than Om. Okay, anything else? Question? All right. Krishna says that someone recites his name when dying, he reaches him. What if someone recites the Hare Krishna mantra while committing suicide? Will he reach Krishna? No, he won't. Because he's sinning on the strength of chanting. To sin on the strength of chanting is an offense. You have to chant in a pure state, you can't commit a nama parad and go back to Godhead. You have to chant in a pure state of surrender to Krishna, but not that I will do a sinful activity and chant Krishna's name while I'm doing it. You can't expect to get liberated by doing that. You won't. You become a ghost. If you commit suicide by chanting Krishna's name, you'll become a ghost. Maybe you'll be a ghost by the temple or something so you can hear the kirtan. But you won't go back to Godhead. You'll be a ghost without a chance to hear the kirtan because you uttered Krishna's name when you committed suicide. But don't think of such things. Suicide doesn't make any sense. If you want to commit suicide, why don't you just deny your material designations philosophically? I'm not male. Why don't you do that suicide? I'm not male. I'm not female. I'm not Mauritian. I'm not white. I'm black. Why don't you kill your false identity by its transcendental knowledge? That's a better form of suicide, you see. I'm not any of these things. I'm simply the eternal servant of Krishna. Now, that's philosophical suicide. That's very nice. If you're miserable and you want to commit suicide, well, annihilate the false conception of the self by philosophical analysis, you see, according to the scriptures. That's a very good form of suicide. Just like it said that sannyas is a social suicide, you see. That sort of suicide is very nice, philosophical suicide. I'm not this body, I'm not male, I'm not female, I'm not white, I'm not a Brahmin, Chachya, Vaishya, Shudra. Lord Chaitanya said like that, he said, that verse, Nahang Vipra Natcha Nadapatir Napi Vaishuna Shudro, Nahang Varni Natcha Riya Katir Vanastau Yatir Va, Kintu Prajan Nikala Paramananda Padam Ritabder, Gopi Bartu Padakamala Yor Dasa Dasa Nudasa. I'm not a Brahman, Vaishya, Chatriya, Shucha, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyasi. I'm simply the servant of the servant and the servant of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is the beloved of the gopis. So in this way we can commit suicide, denying all these material identities and simply reaffirm our spiritual identity. I'm the servant of the servant and the servant of the lotus feet of Krishna. That suicide is very nice. That will relieve us from all anxieties of this world. So it looks like all the questions have ended. Something's coming, all right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Prabhu, do explain to us how the Hare Krishna mantra should be chanted. It should be chanted in such a way that you become enchanted. That's how you should chant it. Do you understand what I mean? Chant it in such a way that you become mystified or enchanted. Because now Krishna has actually come. So if you chant it mechanically, like it's just something to get over with, you're missing the boat. But if you think, oh, Krishna has now come, let me associate with him. Let me feel how Krishna is present. Let me welcome Krishna. He has come as Namavatar. Let me welcome Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. We have to avoid those different offenses. There's different things you can do that distract the mind from the japa, just like we have what's called radar japa. Just like you've seen the radar at the airport, it scans the atmosphere, the radar thing. So some people chant japa like a radar, you know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Don't do radar japa. And there's dive bomber japa, like in World War II, they would come. And then when I drop the bombs, they would come down and drop the bombs, they would go back up again, you see. So like that. So this is dive bomber jumping. You know. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare. Don't do dive bomber jumping. And then there's what's called jabber japa, you see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. How you doing, Prabhu? Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. How's your wife doing? And Krishna, Krishna, Hare. How are the kids doing? Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare. Like, you're trying to talk with somebody, but you're chanting a japa at the same time. Don't do jabber japa either. Then there's called croaking toad japa. Croaking toad. Nish nish nam nam nish nish nam nam nish nish nam nam nish nish nam nam. Don't do that kind of japa either, you see. You should understand that Lord Krishna has come. If a guest, an honored guest, comes to your home, will you neglect him? Or will you give him all care and attention and all loving service? So Krishna has personally come. You must feel how Krishna has come. He has personally come in the form of his name. Now how will you receive him? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Or Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see, how will you receive him? With love. You must chant with love. Bhaktya. With love. And then Krishna will reciprocate. If you can feel Krishna's presence in his name, that day will come very soon when you can see him also with your very eyes standing in front of you. But you have to first see him with your ears. First you must see Krishna with your ears and receive him fully. And then he will kindly someday reveal himself to you visibly. You can see Krishna also. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksta daiva hridaye shivaloke yanti yang shama shundaram achintya ganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. Okay, is that it? Yeah.
You said the leaders are cheaters, but don't you think that we are cheaters also? That's why we take up those cheating religions?
So, Vishnupriya Mataji is asked, we say the leaders, we understand the leaders are cheaters, but aren't we also cheaters by following such leaders? Actually, Prabhupada made this very same point that you're making, Devi. Prabhupada said that we cannot blame the leaders because we elected them. We are the ones who allow them to become the leaders. It's our fault. You see? If you follow someone, a rascal, it's your fault. You followed him, you see. What is that shlok? Shvavidvada ushtra karai sangstatak purushak pushu najatta karma pato peto jatu namagada grajaha. This is Bhagavatam verse. Those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So, it's our fault because if we remain in the category of dogs, hogs, camels and asses, we will elevate as our leaders. What kind of people? Big dogs, big hogs, big camels and big asses. That's all. And that's what we have today, leading us. Asses, camels, monkeys, this caliber of leaders we have. It's like recently the President of the United States said he is in favor of man-to-man marriage. The President of the United States is in favor of two men getting married or two women marrying each other. And see, this is the caliber of leaders that we have in the world. The President of the United States is in favor of two men getting married to each other. You know, Mr. and Mrs. Mr. and Mr. Mr. and Mr. Smith, you see. Husband and husband. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's so far away from God's desires, you see. Two men getting married. Now I accept you as my lawfully wedded husband. One man says, I accept you as my husband. It's insane. And this is the President of the United States, you see, Obama. This is the caliber of people leading our countries these days. You see, these kind of rascal people. What can we expect in the world when the leaders are such idiots, complete idiots? What can we expect? Therefore, we have to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. It's the only hope for the world. It's the only hope. There is no hope for this planet except for this Krishna consciousness movement. That's the thing. Only Prabhupada's teachings can save this world from complete ruination in the near future. Only Prabhupada's teachings can do that. That's a fact.
This is not happening only in America. Even in England, in UK.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. But
everywhere.
You are condemning all the leaders.
America's behind. Other countries were doing this before America even. That's a fact. America is... the other countries have adopted this before America, you see. In Amsterdam, they have the prostitute houses are everywhere. I was doing a japa walk around the block from the temple. And I went, it was the early morning, I took a little japa walk, I went out the door of the temple, turned the other corner, and there was a little shop, and there was a prostitute sitting there in her scantily dressed lingerie, is he? Waiting, and just ring the door, bring your credit card and press the doorbell, you know. And she was sitting there waiting, a live prostitute sitting behind the window. right around the corner from the temple. I was amazed, you see. This is the atmosphere in the world now, you see. This is the atmosphere in the world. So, what can we expect? how people can be happy. It's just not possible. They think that material technology will make people happy. It's completely crazy. The only way to become happy is to be reconnected with God, with Krishna. It's the only way to be happy. So this movement is so important. It's so important that all of you, if you want to be happy, you must surrender to Krishna. You must become devotees of Krishna. As long as you simply serve, well, I'll serve my family. No, you cannot serve your family properly until you surrender to Krishna. First Krishna and then your family. If you think, oh, I'll serve my family and serve Krishna later, then your mentality is an animal's mentality. I'll tell you frankly, you're an animal mentality, and you'll never be happy in your family life. But when you make God the center, then you'll be happy in your family life. No matter what happens, you'll always be happy because God's the center. Anything else? That looks like it's about it. All the questions have ended. Now we've given you all the answers, now it's up to you to do it. Please surrender your lives to Krishna. Please read Prabhupada's books. Follow Prabhupada's guidelines exactly how to surrender yourself to Krishna. Do it now. Don't put it off till next year. Begin right now, today, surrendering yourself to Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. And now one last thing, we're sneaking in.
You know, we are disciples of Shiva also. We pray Shiva, we pray.
The one who becomes a Lord Shiva himself is a Vaishnava. And so if you want to be the best follower of Lord Shiva, then you should do exactly what Lord Shiva does in surrender to Krishna. That is the Shiva, he is called Param Vaishnava. Lord Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava. He is the best devotee of Lord Vishnu, is Shiva himself. So, it's very nice you are devoted to Shiva. We appreciate that. So now you become the perfect follower of Shiva by following his example and becoming Vaishnava. Okay? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.